side B.
Strugglers feel that struggle is noble. To justify the fact that their lives are out of control, strugglers like to feel that struggle is noble, that somehow God is pleased with them for struggling. If you were God, you'd fall over laughing at that one. Strugglers set unrealistic goals. The ego personality decides what it needs to keep itself happy, and it decides how fast it wants those circumstances to come about. Often the struggler will set goals that are unrealistic. He may decide on a level for himself and say to himself, I will have that in 6 months. But his energy is not there yet on a metaphysical level, and so there's a variance between what he believes is possible and what is actually possible. Usually the struggler will be impatient and push like crazy to make deadlines he or she has set. In that headlong plunge for the goal, the struggler gathers a metaphysical wake around him or herself, similar to the wake of a ship. The wake is hard to operate with, for his or her life will lack fluidity. The wake creates an energy that is impossible for the higher self to penetrate. He'll be heading north, say, and the higher self will be whispering, south, south. Yet the struggler does not hear it. The struggler sees only the goal, not the path. He is trapped by his opinion of how to reach the goal. No other possibilities exist. So life moves out of his way, leaving him to operate in a barren land. The struggler is forced to head in the direction he has set for himself. Often, in his frantic effort to make his goal, he misses the side turning that would offer simplicity or shortcut. This kind plows on regardless of pain and anguish, or whether his actions are appropriate or effective. Strugglers lack understanding. Sometimes it's just a lack of knowing about the physical plane and how the marketplace works. Usually the struggler will have dropped out some time back and be drifting, for he or she is not really prepared to concentrate on life and learn how the world works. He usually can't be bothered. Struggle is easier. It is common for this type to feel that the world owes him a living, and he will get upset when circumstances do not necessarily agree with that point of view. He also lacks metaphysical knowledge. He doesn't see how the universal laws operate in his life. So rather than creating an energy and letting things come to him gradually in their own time, he goes after life and pushes it away to his needs and emotion. Strugglers are worried what others think. Strugglers are often very social animals. They believe in a social reality and they accept the opinions of others as truth. This forces them to live up to what are often the unreal expectations of others. They worry what others think of them because they're not sure about themselves. To go past this trap, all you have to do is to realize that your evolution through life is sacrosanct. You are the only one that can decide what is best for you, and only you have the answers. What society thinks of you is totally irrelevant, for others do not have all the facts. Remember, people will always try to manipulate you into their way of thinking. They will want you to act in a way that supports them. Once you do not feel the need to win their approval, because basically you've won your own approval, then their manipulations of you become meaningless. They are like little children you can love for the games they play, but you do not have to take part. You can walk away. In the end, the only true path for you is as an independent. It is only a matter of habit and the way you learn to react. By detaching, you become free. Strugglers lack stability. Stability is the key to a worry-free existence. This means balance in every area of your life. This topic is dealt with extensively in my book, The Force. But let us encapsulate the main point, which is, to have balance and stability, you have to exercise control over every area of your life. This may not be possible as yet, but you can move towards total self-realization bit by bit. This means you're not going to let life tow you around. You'll develop the power to say no to situations that are not a part of your overall intention for yourself. You are the general of your army, making choices that constantly move you forward towards that higher energy that you seek. It also means that you have the right to be satisfied with what you have and what you are right now. Otherwise, you will never reach a point where you are ever satisfied. You have to be happy with your lot right now, in spite of the fact that your ego personality may have sold you on an alternative program. It does not mean that you're not going to settle within the one you have now. There must be lessons to learn here and now. If those lessons are not learned, if you do not accept what you have created for yourself, your energy does not move forward. By resisting, by not adapting to change, you stagnate. Some professional strugglers love to bang their heads against the wall, for it feels so good when they stop. Today is part of your life's curriculum. Learn it, and tomorrow will look after itself. Think of this. If you've made it through life with what you know so far, it's obvious you will make it through the rest of your life once you possess a greater knowledge and objectivity. That is truth. Strugglers often lack concentration. Concentration is a key discipline in personal growth and development. Everything else is meaningless, for your power rests where your consciousness flows. When you are centered and concentrating on what you're doing, not only do you derive more from your actions, but also all of your power, both inner and outer, is being used to empower your actions. The mind hates to concentrate, and most people cannot hold a centered thought on one idea for more than a minute. Now, if you train the laser light of your intention in a direction, you empower that direction with your energy. If 15 seconds later you are distracted by a thought that says, "Did I leave the iron on?" your power has gone. By developing a goal and concentrating on it for a few seconds, and then becoming distracted, and by concentrating at various levels of intention, you put into the universal law such a hesitant staccato message that it does not know what the hell you want. Successful people set up a sensible plan of action and concentrate upon it until it is completed. Then they set up another. While working on an idea, they give it their full attention, empowering it with their consciousness until it becomes a reality. Watch how your mind plays games with you. Often we start a project, and 15 minutes into the project, the mind goes, "I hate having to concentrate on this. Let's have a cup of coffee." And so the project is put to one side. Or perhaps the phone rings. The caller has no idea what you're doing. He or she has an intention that is expressed out of his or her need to speak to you. We allow the mind to use the telephone call to distract us rather than saying to the caller, "Thanks for calling, but I can't talk to you now. Call back at Christmas." Through concentration, you become powerful. Force your mind to concentrate, and you have won a battle over struggle. Strugglers have poorly designed lifestyles. You are the general. Plot your battle plan and stay centered on it, but let the winds and currents of life allow you to flow to other areas. Designing your life is a matter of discipline. You need certain things, and you deserve them. But how do you get them with minimum effort? By cutting out those things that are superfluous. Toss the extra baggage out and hold on to a life of simplicity. Constantly evaluate circumstances to see if things are worth the effort. Often you will find they're not. Strugglers lack order. To go beyond struggle, you have to have order. Otherwise, you dissipate energy, wasting time in confusion. Strugglers lack concerted action in the marketplace. You are a consciousness, a spirit, but you're also a physical being. There is a point when you will have to take your creativity to the people and sell it. That involves concerted action in the marketplace. Strugglers don't like concerted action, yet through it, you get what you want. Chapter 4, Dumping Struggle. There's no greater gift to yourself and to those around you than your deciding to dump struggle. For struggle is an unholy battle that you fight with yourself. It is not natural. Here are 8 pointers you may wish to consider as you move from toil and struggle into absolute freedom. 1. Opinion. That which is struggle to one person is just gentle effort to another. Struggle is always how you feel about something, your opinion. It is laced with negative emotion. To dumb struggle, you should get used to asking yourself in each circumstance, "What is my underlying emotion or opinion here?" Perhaps your circumstances are not really a struggle, and all you have to do is make a few slight changes in the way you view things. Usually, the correction can be made simply and easily. 2. Timing. If things don't flow, ask yourself, "Am I going too fast or am I too slow? Is this the right time?" A great idea may result in a total flop if presented at the wrong time. Usually things take longer than we expect them to. This is because we can think faster than we can act. So ideas have to have time to incubate and come together, especially when you need others to help you materialize your dreams. They need time to become comfortable with your idea and to make it their own, to move through whatever considerations or opinions they may have. Sometimes you may be moving too slowly. This may be through a lack of resolve or laziness or just plain dithering. To make life work, You have to face it full frontal. Head out with a good plan and trust in the Great Spirit to deliver. But head out toward your goal, even if it seems a long way off. Nothing will carry you. You will usually have to carry yourself. Moving gracefully towards your goal, you enjoy the journey and watch constantly to see if your actions are in keeping with whatever energy you need to consummate your desire. 3. Cast of characters. At this time, the world has approximately 5,000 million inhabitants. They are the characters you will invite to be in your army of helpers. Most of the characters will not be suitable, and many others will be busy in campaigns of their own. But some are eminently suitable. To go beyond struggle, you first have to be able to accept the help of others, and secondly, you have to choose your characters carefully. If you find yourself in a campaign with the cast already set, you must become a crafty general and get the most out of your people given the circumstances, the goals, and what the budget allows. It's a mathematical certainty that most of the people who come into your life you will eventually eliminate. We tend to think that the characters we have around us are the only characters. Not so. I used to think if I did not get on with the kids in the neighborhood, I would have no friends. So I adapted to what I felt they wanted of me. Truth is, there are billions of kids all over the place. But coming from my finite view as a small boy, I did not see that. Never be afraid to let someone go if they are not right. Often, that is the only way that you can make room for the right person. Plus, you are doing them a service. For if they are a square peg in a round hole, they need your help in order to move on to a more comfortable setting. 4. Is the army marching with no boots? To successfully materialize a battle plan, you have to go into the nitty-gritty. Do you have the wherewithal, the components you need? Or are you signing yourself up for a glorious disaster? Remember, just because you have a good idea, there is absolutely no reason to embark on it. Just because you love somebody is no reason to marry them. Let us say you want to open a shop. Do you have the capital? What do you know about shopkeeping? Is there a market for the products you want to sell? It's amazing how many people open businesses without ever finding out if there's really any demand for that business. They feel that because they really like pink shirts with little dots, everyone else in the town will. Not so. A good general does not commit his troops until he knows what he's getting into. For example, if you want to start a magazine in the USA, it takes approximately $500,000 and about 5 years to make it a financial success. Most new publications fold because the creators just don't know that simple fact. Ask yourself prior to committing to anything, do I have the wherewithal to pull it off, and do I know what I'm getting into? 5. Am I trying to capture a castle I don't really need or want? What is your motivation for taking action? What is the level of your commitment, and do you actually want the end result, or are you going for something else instead? For example, are you dating the brother so that you can be close to the man you actually love? Is it worth the effort, or is there a simpler way? In the 5-day intensives called The Warrior's Wisdom that we put on in Taos, New Mexico, we have a section called The Quickening. In it, you learn to speed up your etheric energy and to evaluate your every move in light of results and of the speed at which things materialize in your life. Expending energy in a wasteful way is the road to poverty and struggle. One gets bogged down in one's own inefficiency and eventually one's life becomes an affirmation of helplessness. Remember, most of the paths you will be offered are totally inappropriate for you. At every turn, give yourself 5 good reasons for saying no. And while walking into a relationship or project, look for the exit. 6. Am I resisting? To go beyond struggle, you have to go beyond rigid opinion. That means opening yourself to change. Look to see how many paths are available to you that you can easily identify and how many possibilities you may have missed. A young businesswoman came to see me recently. At lunch, she explained a business deal she was considering. Maneuvering the salt and pepper pots across the tablecloth, she showed me how the deal would net her $100,000. She wanted to know what I felt about the plan. As we talked, the waiter brought a finger bowl of water to our table and placed it haphazardly between the salt and pepper pots. Suddenly I saw that if the deal were divided into 2 parts, it would change dramatically. I asked her if this were possible. She replied yes. In analyzing the situation, we discovered that the deal expressed in a divided form would net her $480,000. She went away with her battle plan. The event reminded me that there's always more than one way of skinning a rabbit. Look at your options, then play the devil's advocate, and look for all the angles you may have missed. If you find yourself in an uphill situation, ask yourself, what am I resisting? What have I missed in this situation that is causing me turmoil? 7. Am I content with conditions? It always amazes me that people will put up with difficult conditions and actually like them. If conditions do not suit you, then set about changing them. 8. Am I in control? What is the level of control you exert? Are you rushing around like crazy? Have you relinquished control to others? If so, why? Did you do so because you felt powerless? Or perhaps it felt comfortable to allow others to drive the bus? Why? By exercising control, you command and become responsible. But you also have the ability to alter things to suit yourself and are not prone to the whims of others. Remember, it's okay to get what you want from life. Chapter 5, Conclusion. The very nature of our existence on the earth plane involves us in a certain amount of restriction. That is one of the lessons you come to learn. Once that lesson is learned, you can then move from restriction into absolute freedom. For ultimately, your spiritual heritage is to be independent and free. Effort is part of our condition as physical beings, for we have to translate thoughts and feelings into physical action. Struggle, however, is not natural. It is an unholy battle we fight with ourselves. But because it is a byproduct of our personal imbalances, it is a condition we can easily go beyond. By having the courage to identify and face the causes of struggle in your life, you grant yourself the power to transcend. Once you accept that you are the cause of struggle, you can then affirm with certainty that all struggle in your life can be eliminated, given time. Further, because struggle is a program response, meaning that everyone is taught to struggle from an early age, it may take time to reprogram your attitudes for a more carefree existence. But it's fun to see yourself moving gradually from various forms of anguish into celestial acceptance of yourself and the world around you. To be free is a great gift. To achieve that, you do not need great amounts of money or influence or power. All you need is the ability to place yourself in a non-confrontive mode, firstly with yourself and secondly with the world around you. Then, as struggle begins to melt in the light of your balance and positivity, the freshness that new energy brings to your life allows your emotions to take on a resonating inner calm. Inner calm allows you to pull more and more opportunities to yourself because energy seeks its own kind. Balance and great good fortune can only come to a person who is balanced and feels fortunate. From this day on, toss out one aspect of your life each day that causes you difficulty and make a note of your progress. See yourself moving inexorably towards your final goal, total freedom, exquisite happiness, absolute calm. Once you reach that point and are able to sustain it for a while, then teach it to others. Teach them that life was never meant to be a struggle. They will thank you, for you will have set them free.